Today we'll give a bit of an introduction to Hilchos Brichas Hanan, which starts in the Chayim of Sif, and this is our The Gemara says in Brachas on Daf Lamed Hey on Aleph, the beginning of Perikates and Mevarchim, also lehanas min olam hazeh b'lo bracha, and because of that, the Easter, that's why the Chachamim are misaking that we should recite the Brichas Hanenen before we eat any food. Purpose of the bracha is to be matter this Easter, and that's why the Gemara says on Daf Lamed Aleph and Brachas, what if a person forgot to recite a bracha before he ate the food and he already finished eating? So if he's in the middle of eating a sandwich and he forgot to say Hamoitzi, so the Gemara says, so let him say Hamoitzi now, he has more bread left to go. What if he already finished eating the whole sandwich and there's no more bread left and he doesn't plan to eat anymore? So then the Gemara says, Parfait, you cannot be Mata the Yisr Lema Freya. Once he's already violated the Yisr, you cannot undo it Lema Freya retroactively. Exactly what is the nature of this Din of Birchas Hanenen? Is it an Easter? Also, the Hanus Medal Mazad La Brocha, and the Brocha is for the purpose of being Mata the Yisr? Or is it really the opposite, that it's really a mitzvah to recite a bracha before eating any food? And if you didn't recite the bracha, you're in violation of the yisra. How should you view it? What's the difference from Zayt Ha'in and Zayt Ha'in? The difference is with respect to an oinen, Rachman al-Atzlan. It means Misha Mesa Muta Lafana. The Mishnah and the Gemara in the very beginning of the second paragraph of bracha say that if a person has lost a very close relative, one of the relatives that you have to observe Avelis for, so Kodim Ha'kvura calls Manshel and Nikra Ha'meis, he's potter from Kriya Shema Tefillah and Tefillin. And Tosfos' opinion is not only is he potter, if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. No, Tosfos' opinion is based on Yishami that he's prohibited to fulfill the mitzvahs. It's also to be the kind of mitzvahs, and that's the way it says in Yeruday. Kozman Shemesh Mutalafana, he's forbidden to observe the mitzvahs. So the question is, what does he do when he's about to eat food? Let's say he's interested in eating some bread. He doesn't say he's forbidden to eat bread. He's allowed to eat bread. So the question is, what does he do with Tefillas Yadayim? Do you say that Tefillas Yadayim is a mitzvah to wash Tefillas Yadayim before you eat bread? So he's prohibited to observe mitzvahs, so he's not allowed to wash Tefillas Yadayim? Or should you say no? That is, he's not allowed to eat chaz, he's not allowed to do chal sham, he's not allowed to do aver, it's just that he's not permitted to do mitzvahs. So maybe over here, eating bread without Tefillas Yadayim, maybe I should view that as an Easter. So if he has to wash Tefillas Yadayim, he's ought not to violate the Easter of eating bread without Tefillas Yadayim. So in Yeridaya, and Hilchas Mishamesh Mutalafanov, it says that he has to wash in Tefillas Yadayim without a bracha. It says there that in Tefillas Yadayim before eating bread is both a mitzvah and to avoid an Easter. There's an Easter to eat bread without Tefillas Yadayim. But if that were the whole story, then you wouldn't say a bracha when you wash in Tefillas Yadayim. The only reason why you say bracha is because it's a mitzvah to wash in Tefillas Yadayim before eating bread. So the Einan has to wash in Tefillas Yadayim in order not to violate the Aveira of eating bread without Tefillas Yadayim. But he doesn't say a bracha on the Tefillas Yadayim because he doesn't say any bracha, he doesn't do any mitzvah.
So eating
without washing is considered an aveira. So he has to wash, the oinen has to wash in order not to violate the aveira of eating the bread without washing. But he doesn't say the bracha on the Tefillas Yadayim because the bracha is like all brachas, like all davening that he's not allowed to do. So the question is, what about a Birchas Hanenin? What about reciting the Hamoitzi over the bread? After he finishes eating, the Gemara says explicitly that he doesn't bench. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Zayin HaMavarach, that he's not allowed to bench. Even if he has plenty of time on his hands, he's not permitted to bench. What about Hamoitzi? Maybe Hamoitzi left him in Ha'aretz, Hashach, and Yer B'drach. Whatever bracha he has to say before he eats whatever he's eating, maybe the reciting of the bracha is for the purpose of avoiding violating the Aveir of eating Menorah Mazeh B'drach. So that's a major dispute in the Rishon. It's very Negel Allah every day of the year. Someone is in Aminas. And we paskin in Yeruday that he does not say a bracha. We assume that reciting a bracha is not that the story begins with an Easter, that it's also the Hanukkah, Elohim Azeh, like bracha is an Easter, and the bracha comes to him after the Easter. We assume that it really begins with a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to recite a bracha. And if you don't do your mitzvah, so that constitutes an Aveira. But by the Einein, since he's prohibited to do all the mitzvahs in the Peiret, he's prohibited to do mitzvahs in Rabban also, so he's not allowed to say any brachas, even Birchas Hanen. What kind of a mitzvah is this? A mitzvah deraisa, a mitzvah derabbanan? What kind of a din is it to say Birchas Hanenen? So we usually assume that Birchas Hanenen is only derabbanan. We assume that all the brachas were instituted by the Chachamim, with the exception of Birchas Hamazon. So it says in the Chumash, Rechalta b'Sulat v'Rachta, the first 8 days of the year, then he's obligated to bench Me'atera. And Kiddush, the Gemara says, is Me'atera. In Havdalah is a machlekes, but Havdalah is not a teira. That's about all. Birchas HaTeira. Ramban claims that Birchas HaTeira is their Isa. That's not the Shabur Chaskes on
that.
Birchas Kohanim. That they give us a bracha. Yeah, that they give a bracha. But that we have to give Hashem a bracha. That the Bnei Yisrael have to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the bracha is their Isa. Birchas HaMozim. And Birchas HaTeira. Kiddush. And possibly Havdalah. What about Birkas HaMen? So it's generally assumed that all the brachas are only the Rabban. Say Yeshua, the first daf in Perek Ketz of Mevarchim, claims based on the Lashon HaGemara that all Birkas HaMen are not their eyes. Because the Gemara here, the first starts off by asking what is the Mokka for Birkas HaMen. So should I say this Mokka, that Mokka? This Mokka comes out, there is no Mokka from the Chumash. The Gemara says, how do you know you have to say a bracha? So the Gemara should say, well, the Chachamim won't misak. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, El Svarahi. It's a Svara. That it's also lehonis min elam azeh, but bracha. That it's improper to be named. So the Yeshua points out that the Gemara in Bava Kama, the Rav says, connection with a certain din, that you have a pasuk to indicate, to teach you that din. And the Gemara says, a pasuk, you need a pasuk for such a din. It's so elementary. Lama mikra, Svarahi. It's a Svara. Whatever is a Svara, you don't need a pasuk. It's such a similar mark to this as well, with respect to Teshasa Peshehita. The Gemara says, how do you know there's a din of Teshasa Peshehita? The Gemara says, it's a pasuk in the Chumash. As beaten as Ati Lishazel. The Gemara says, either pasuk for Teshasa Peshehita, it's pure Svara. And whatever is a Svara, you don't have to have a pasuk for that. The pasuk teaches you a different din. But whatever is a Svara is a din deraisa without requiring a pasuk. Chassad, you're going to ask that question. I'm going to say, Dave, yes. Why did the Rebbe Shalom have to give Maimon Hasina? Why did he have to reveal himself to the Bnei Yisrael? Amalei Kuros, already. We could have figured out the existence of God in Terem and Hashemayim and Karbi Yonish and Chisna. We could have figured everything out logically. Why did HaKadosh Baruch have to reveal all these things? And Muntaz, we could have figured it out. He says, because there are some people who think that HaMesh Baruch. Baharaya, there's so many non-believers in the world. So therefore, the Rebbe Shalom had to give a revelation. But otherwise, if it would really be a Svara Brura, then you wouldn't need any revelation, you wouldn't need any pasuk. Whatever is a svara doesn't need a pasuk. So the Pei Yeshua claims that since the Gemara uses that expression on the first daf in case of Mevarchim, El Svarahi, and that's the exact same svara, the same terminology that's used in the other Gemaras in Bava Kama, and Sukkot, where it means a svara deraisa, so he claims that Birchas HaMenon is deraisa. It's not generally accepted. The generally accepted view is the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that all Birchas HaMenon are only derabbanan. What bracha do you have to say before your nanim and oil mazep? As little children, the children know, you say shahakal on everything. I don't know why my children always say varim and zainis on everything. Whatever they eat, they say varim and zainis. So the Mishnah says in bracha that that's not proper. You're not supposed to say the same bracha on everything. You have to have pirur in the bracha. So the Gemara derives this from the pasuk, baruch Hashem yom yom, b'chol yom teimel ne'im b'choysev shal yoyim. Cannot mean in the pasuk that we only give blessings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the daytime, not in the nighttime. What does it mean, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom? Every day of the year, you should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that today is Shabbos, that today is Yom Tov, that today is Chalamot, you should pray Rosh Chodesh. Whenever there's something special, whenever there's something unique, you should mention it. You should have pirut in the davening, a pirut in the benching. So the Gemara says, from that same pasuk, we derive the principle that we require pirut and Birchas HaMenon as well. That's why the Chachamim were misakin a whole series of brachas. They were misakin hamotzi lechem and haaretz over bread. And barakhi hadam over wine, barakhi weis over fruit, and barakhi hadam over vegetables. And one opinion in the mission is that there are different types of vegetables. But you the whole. For some vegetables, the bracha, the proper bracha is very minyei b'shoyim. And others say barakhi hadam. And the Chachamim say, no, that's a little too much pirut. You don't have to go into such detail. All vegetables are lumped into one category, barakhi hadam. And then you have this this general bracha for mitzvahs, and then you have the general bracha of shahakal mi'vadvara that the Mishnah says in b'di'evin and birachal kulam shahakal mi'vadvara. Your Gemara has a dispute. What about shahakal mi'vadvara and pasul yayin? Since bread has a very super, very special bracha of hamotzi lechem v'ha'or, you don't just say b'di'evin and mitzvahs on bread. And wine has a very special bracha. You really should have said the Mishnah implies you really should have recited b'di'evin who ate on wine. But you don't. They were mistaken a special bracha for Ikri Hagofen. So maybe these, because of the uniqueness of wine and bread, that they were mistaken a very special bracha. Maybe I should say that even the Yevet Shahakal Yivadvar is not acceptable. So that's my focus in the Gemara. And we task him like that opinion that Shahakal is even acceptable to the Yevet. Shahakal is acceptable to the Yevet on bread and on wine. But the Hatzila, the Gemara says clearly it's not proper to recite a bracha kolelos. You should really have pirut in your bracha. exactly when do you recite Baruch Pihu Eitz and when do you recite Baruch Pihu Adonai? So the Gemara says this is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraita Tikkun. This is a Din Deraita. Where do you have a Din Deraita that distinguishes between fruits and vegetables? You have a Tanenin. If you say Baruch Pihu Eitz, Baruch Pihu Adonai, that's only the Rabbanan. Even according to the same Shua, that Yechus HaNenim is the Raisa, but the distinction between this Rabbah and that Rabbah, that's only the Rabbah. Really have on the level of the Raisa, the difference between a fruit and a vegetable. Does the Halacha recognize that there is any difference between a fruit and a vegetable? Al so the answer is sure there is. With respect to our law, says in the Torah, if you plant a tree, so the fruits can grow the first 3 years, Arasa Ba'achila Ba'hanoah. If you plant vegetables, you don't have such a difference. The Gemara wants to know, what is the correct definition on the level of the Raisa of a tree, as opposed to a vegetable, whatever the definition is on the level of the Raisa, that will apply also with respect to this Din Rabbanon of Baruch Pihu Adonai versus Baruch Pihu Eitz. So the Gemara says the correct definition is that if you plant a tree, the tree or the bush, a bush is also a tree, opposite. Vine is a tree. How do you determine what's a tree? It doesn't have to hard, doesn't have to have a hard trunk that you can climb up on, doesn't have to have a bark or anything. The din is whenever the branches stay there from year to year and the pears grow the next year from the same branches that were there the previous year, that's defined as a tree. Whenever the branches don't stay there from year to year, then it's defined as a vegetable. Even though the mice grows on a tree. What's the halacha? That's the definition that the Gemara gives with respect to our law, the definition on the level of the raisa. That whatever berries grow on bushes have the status of fruits, and you say Baruch Pihu Eitz, and they are subject to the laws of Arlo, just like their fruits on a regular tree. What if you have a tree where the roots of the tree stay in the ground from year to year, but the entire tree collapses, and then next year the whole thing is going to grow up by itself? So that's a machlokes in the Tur, in Arachayim, with the Brichas Hanenin, and the case that they discuss. Mechaber gives you an Arabic word for a fruit. Not familiar with Arabic, so I take Rabbi Ovadia Yosef's word for it. He says that that word means a banana. Chava talks about a banana. So a banana is exactly that. The banana, the whole tree collapses. Rabbi Tanla says he couldn't believe it. So when he was doing research years ago, over 30 years ago, he was doing research in Colombia. So he was doing research in his field. So he asked somebody to do him a favor and plant a banana tree. Wants to see the way it grows. It's a regular banana tree. You can climb up on a tree. And then at the end of the year, the whole tree fell down to the ground, and then the next year, the whole tree grew up by itself. The roots remained under the ground, the whole tree grew up. So that case is exactly the machlokes in the Tur, where the roots remain under the ground from year to year, but the branches that the banana is going to grow on will not remain from year to year. Is that considered a tree because the roots remain from year to year, or is that considered a vegetable because the branches don't remain? So because of the machlokes, the din is that you have to say Baruch Pihu Adonai, because if you said by mistake Baruch Pihu Eitz on a vegetable, you're not yet. If it's said by mistake Baruch Pihu Adonai on a fruit, then the Mishnah says that you are Yaitz, because all fruits also are Baruch Pihu Adonai. But vegetables are not Baruch Pihu Eitz. So instead of saying on a banana, whenever you have a suffix, whether it's Yaitz or Adonai, instead of saying, well, we don't know, say Shehakol. Why should you say Shehakol, which has no purit at all? You may as well say Baruch Pihu Adonai, which is a little bit more mafura than Shehakol. Adonai is certainly good b'dievet, Shehakol is certainly good b'dievet. Shehakol is what they say, Yaitz, they say leaks a little purit. So that case is that case is a machloekis, so we passed him that the proper bracha that you should say is to Adonai himself. But what if for the Yevet, a person would recite Baruch Pihu Eitz? In the summer we would say that for the Yevet is good. In the summer we would pass him the machloekis, in the summer we would say that for the Yevet is good. Same is true with respect to strawberries. The entire bush collapses, but the roots remain below the ground, and then the next year it's different from other bushes. If the bush remains from year to year, the whole winter the bush is there, and then next year the berries are the berries grow on the same bushes. Hashem can struggle, the whole thing disappears. And that's a machloikis. So we task him that the proper bracha is to Adonai, but he has in his stomach, he'd say, Baruch Pihu Eitz, you'd be
Yaitz. Yeah, I understand. In any tree, you have the roots living in the ground, even though they're in the ground, by the fact that the fruit or whatever is on the branches of the tree, that makes it Eitz.
That's a shayla. What defines it as a tree? Does it depend on the fact? Gemara says if it stays from year to year, what has to stay from year to year? The branches have to stay from year to year? That the branches over there last year remain this year and they grow again, fruits grow again on the same branches? Or no, you don't even need that the branches to remain. Even if all the branches collapse, but the roots remain under the ground, and then the entire bush or the entire tree grows up all over again, it's still called a tree.
So that's a good question, whether the tree as an entity has changed. It's a different tree now.
The question is it called a vegetable or is it called a fruit? Because the Gemara says the definition of a tree is if it remains from year to year. If it remains, what's the it? Whether the it means the roots under the ground remain, but that's not enough. You have to have that the branches have to remain. But that's the machlokes. The special bracha of Baruch Hu Mizaynus, instead of saying Baruch Hu Adama, whatever is Mizaynus grows in the ground, so you really should have decided Baruch Hu Adama. So it's a special takana that you say Baruch Hu Mizaynus. It's very strange, I don't know, there must be some good reason. The bracha of Baruch Hu Mizaynus doesn't appear in the Mishnah. Gemara quotes Rabbi Shmuel, says the bracha of Baruch Hu Mizaynus. Gemara quotes Tosefta's habit, but the Mishnah doesn't have it. I don't know why the Mishnah doesn't. Shakal, all the other brachas do appear in the Mishnah, except for Baruch Hu Mizaynus. Gemara quotes Brightest that have Baruch Hu Mizaynus. So the question is, when does one recite Baruch Hu Mizaynus? Then Gemara says only on Chameishes Minei Gova, only on the five types of grain, that Chitim, Sorim, Kusman, Shabbat, Shul, and Shikol. It's one to discuss when we learn Sotah Kala. There's a question exactly the identification of the five meanings. Usually, as children, we're trained to rattle off that it's wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt. And the question is whether rye is really from the Chameishes Minei Gova. For many kind of that rye is not. But the only reason why rye bread is Hamoitzi, because it really has a lot of wheat in it. But if you just have pure rye, you wouldn't have any wheat mixed in, then it wouldn't be hamaitzi, it would be Baruch Hu Adama, it would be shahakah, it would be some other broth, because it's some other vegetable. It's not, rye per se is not considered the Nechamesh Tinedot. And we mentioned once that oats is also a question. Professor Felix in Eretz Yisrael published his book on the vegetation in the Talmud. He claims that oats is not the Nechamesh Tinedot. And many rabbonim screamed at him. They said, how can it be? The tradition always had is that oats is in the Chameishes Minei Gova. The question is, how long is this tradition? How long has this tradition been going on? Who knows what the Jews always ate oats in Europe? Rashi says, and Rashi gives you the translation, he gives you the French word, so Rashi gives you a word which we assume means oats. The question is, did Rashi speak the same French that Pompidou speaks? That Mitterrand speaks? I don't know. Pompidou is not the French, whatever. Does it speak the same French that we speak today? Is it really the correct word for it? So that's the question. When you eat Cheerios in the morning, should you really say Baruch Hu Mizaynus and say Al Amichi at the end? Or maybe you shouldn't. When you have oatmeal cookies, is it really Baruch Hu Mizaynus? That's the question. The Gemara has one exception to the rule. The Gemara has a dispute, Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri and Chachamim, whether rice has the status of Minei Dovah. So Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri's opinion is that if you mix rice with water, it's Bolei Dechimun. It's an amine dogon, and you can make matzahs from rice. And you say hamotzi on rice, and you say baruch hu mizaynus on rice. And rice has the full status like wheat and barley. Same as the dogon. And the Gemara says we don't accept his opinion. And his view was not accepted. However, the Gemara says with respect to the bracha of baruch hu mizaynus, that's an exception to the rule. That if you have rice pudding, or if you have rice krispies, Rav Moshe says, when he says, if you have rice krispies, also you say, Baruch Hu Mizaynus. It doesn't mean that when you finish eating, you say, I'm lifting al kakova. That thing Gemara says, no. When you finish, you just say, Baruch Hu Mizaynus.
Not on rice cover.
On rice.
Spotless.
Yeah, cooked, only if it's cooked to the extent that it's soft. Sometimes the rice is cooked and it's still very hot. It's not well cooked. Then you say, Baruch Hu Adama. Then you say, Baruch Hu Adama. But if it's cooked and it's very soft, then the Gemara says that you say Baruch Hu Mizaynus, and La'acharav, and after you finish eating, then you say Baruch Hu Mizaynus. The question in the Rishonim is, why should rice, if rice doesn't have the status of Minei Dovah, so why should you recite Baruch Hu Mizaynus? If with respect to, you never say Hamotzi on rice, and it's not Chomet, and you can use it for matzah, and all the other dinim don't apply, and the difference Hamotzi, you don't say, and Allah Michi, you don't say, just say Baruch Hu Mizaynus, it's a manishtana that bracha Baruch Hu Mizaynus from all the other dinim. So it is a dispute in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that the bracha Baruch Hu Mizaynus was nisaking on things that are very filling. So normally wheat and barley are very filling, you make cakes out of it, you make galoshes, spaghetti, puddings, all kinds of stuff. It's very filling. So rice is also very filling. Point to that opinion, if you eat potatoes, it's also very filling. So you should say Baruch Hu Mizaynus on potatoes, and after you finish eating, you should say Baruch Hu Mizaynus. In Europe, there were communities where potatoes was the staple of life. Another Rishonim to say, no, that's not the key to the distinction over here. It's not that it's very filling. That's what the Rabbi Yehoni writes. That it's very filling, so you say Baruch Hu Mizaynus. And according to him, it's lavdafke rice. Point to him is any vegetable that the minikamdin is that you fill yourself up in that vegetable, for example, potatoes, no zabini, then it would be Baruch Hu Mizaynus. Another Rishonim saying, no, that's not the real reason why. The real reason is because Rabbi Yechem and Uri was of the opinion that Oyrez is min dogons, even though we don't accept his viewpoint with respect to all the other things. With respect to the Bracha Barim and Mizainis, we make a little compromise and we declare that Sof Kol Sof has a little similarity to dogon. Rabbi Yechem and Uri didn't get it from thin air. The Rishami says in Chala that they experimented and they tested to see whether it has the same chemical properties as wheat and barley. And it had a little bit, it was similar, but a little bit it was dissimilar. So the Tanaim had a dispute where to draw the line, whether to label the rice as min dogon or not. So even on Chala Tarakul, we declare that rice is not min dogon, but with respect to Barim and Mizainis, we say that it is enough. It's similar enough to dogon to declare it as dogon. That's the shot, and it has certain complications to potatoes. So because of this machlokes, whether you should treat potatoes like rice or not, like whether potatoes taste like rice. Machlokes are shown whether potatoes have the same din of rice or not, so that's why some had a minig that when they ate potatoes, they would say shahakal. What's that for shahakal? Why should they say shahakal? If machlokes with his bird in design, it's a bird fi hadama, that would come off to say shahakal. But that jump is very difficult. If you have a food that's a topic, whether it's design or hadama, what bracha should you say? So I would have said, offhand, without looking at the Shulchan Aruch, I would have said, well, b'diyevet if you say on cake, if I'm mistaken, he said b'r'pi hadom on cake, b'diyevet you yotze. And if you take potatoes and you say b'r'im in mizonis, yotze, I would assume that b'diyevet you're not yotze. I would say that it's like a banana. If you have a sofik or strawberries, if you have a sofik, whether it's yotze or hadom, so the machabe paskins, that mitam sofik, you say b'r'pi hadom, it's to be safe for sure. So I would have thought when you have a sofik, whether the bracha is hadom or b'r'im in mizonis, if you say hadom, you'll be sure, you'll be safe for sure. Don't say Barim and Mizanis, but how do you come off to say Shahakam in Midrash? The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayei Yodom, who says the Chiddush, that the Yevid, if you say, just like if you say Shahakam on anything, you yotze to the Yevid, even on bread, and even on wine, and even on everything, Shahakam covers everything to the Yevid. So he says, in the name of the Chayei Yodom, that Barim and Mizanis also, if one recites Barim and Mizanis on any food, the Yevid is yotze with the exception of water and the exception of salt. Because the Mishnah says in the Dorim that if a person took a neder not to eat mizainis, so in Lashon Bnei Adam, mizainis includes everything with the exception of salt and the exception of water. So the Chayyadim says that since in Lashon Bnei Adam the term mizainis can apply to anything except for mine and melos, so yeah, but if anybody said for him mizainis on potatoes or anything, it would be yotze. Alright, so again, getting back to the potatoes, if it's a shayla, whether it's hadam or mizainis, I would have said, Shaila, to say either Hadam or same as Zainus, whichever you want is good. But why in the world should you fly off the Shahakal? Shahakal doesn't have any pirates at all. Whereas in the Zainus and Bakhti Hadam, each has a pirate. And did he ever be yotze with either? To say one of them. But that's a minig that some Hasidish Rebbe's had. That comes from the Divrei Chaim, from the Sanzerot. That he had this minig, and his descendants and others quoted in his name, that he used to say Shahakal Nibidvar on potatoes because I speak in Adina, whether you say. Whether you say Mizainis or you say Huadamah, so therefore he flew off the shop.
These were
regular potatoes, chalam potatoes. If you're eating in the middle of a meal, so you said Hamotzi at the beginning, so you covered everything. But if you nash the chalam on Friday night, you take a little nash after you bench the rennie, and you have to say a bracha. So what bracha do you say? I'm regular, normal cooked potatoes. So others suggested a different reason why potatoes should be shahakal, but that's not the official reason that's given. The Minchas Yitzchak from Dayamai from Leda Haredes has this in his truth. He says, the Gemara says on Kameim or Patriot, that on mushrooms, you don't recite Baruch Hadoma because they're not planted in the ground. The Gemara says, Mi'avira Karabi. They grow on top of the ground. They don't have roots that are yearning from the ground. So therefore you say shahakal. It's not a fruit, and it's not a vegetable, and it's not a wine, and it's not a meat, and it's not a this, and it's not a that. So it's a general food, any miscellaneous food. I say it's normal. So you say shahakalana. Me'avira karabi. So some time is that everybody knows that when you have potatoes and they sit around the house for long enough, they start to sprout. Oh, so you see that the potatoes can grow without being rooted in the ground. So that's why on potatoes you should say shahakalim advar, because they have the same din as mushrooms. So the Minhas Yitzchak writes that he thinks that that's utterly ridiculous. Potatoes are not going to grow unless you plant them in the ground. They'll sprout a little bit. But when they start to sprout, the people don't eat the part that sprouted. You rip off that part before you start to cook the potato. The actual gufa potato doesn't grow unless it's sitting in the ground, rooted in the ground. So he thinks that this whole idea is utterly ridiculous. It's a shahaka. But they consider that potatoes is a secular dina. There is a shaila, there is one opinion that on potatoes you should say burim in the. But that opinion is not quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. We don't pass them on. The Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch have that sometimes on fruit you don't say ha'etz, and sometimes on vegetables you don't say ho'adama. Namely the following case. Let's say you have oranges. The oranges are very pre-weights. Let's say some sugar and cook the orange. The minig America is that people don't eat, normal people don't eat cooked oranges. This guy, he's sick or he's healthy, whatever, funny character, he cooks his oranges. So then the Gemara says, since Rebbe Liotam don't eat oranges when they're cooked, so the bishul is considered a shinoi, is considered a different entity, and therefore it's considered now synthetic fruit. It doesn't maintain its original identity as a fruit. It's considered now ishtani. Whenever you have a shinoi, so the object is considered a new entity, and a synthetic fruit is shahafam yimidvar, not that it goes down to hadam, it's shahafam yimidvar. And the same thing by vegetables. Let's say what's an example? Let's say in America we eat raw carrots. In Europe they never ate raw carrots. In Europe they always ate cooked carrots. So if anybody, let's say in America we don't eat raw potatoes. Some people eat raw potatoes, but normal people don't eat, Bahamas eat raw potatoes. Some people eat raw potatoes, but normally people don't eat raw potatoes. So the Gemara says if you eat potatoes when they're raw, that shalok ederach hafilos, it's an abnormal way of eating it, so then you say shahapa liyubidva. You eat potatoes when they're cooked, then you say barakri hadam. Raw onions. I think in America it's pretty accepted. No? People eat it in a salad. Very accepted in America. I think it is hadam. I think regular raw onion. I don't know. If you sit and eat an onion like this, I don't know. But you say barakri hadam. But if you eat it as part of a salad, I think it is barakri hadam. I guess the rest of the salad is going to be hadam anyway.
The pulp of an orange apple. The pulp of an orange apple.
The pulp of an orange? What do you mean the pulp of an orange?
Like the skin, whatever.
Yeah, the peel. What bracha did you recite on the peel? I forgot. The Shulchan Aruch discusses it explicitly. There are a lot of details about that. I didn't go through that. In Europe, that was a common delicacy. They used to marmalade. No, they used to make marmalade from the peels of the oranges. So they discussed that a lot in Shulchan Aruch. I didn't go through the details.
Just how much do you have to change it to more of the bracha? No, it's like French fries or something.
If it's still chunky like French fries, then it still maintains the original identity, and you say the same bracha. If you have applesauce, chunky applesauce, but then it's still very pureed, no question about it. If you made applesauce that you liquefy the apples, that's perhaps ishtani. Or let's say if you have mashed potatoes, you have mashed potatoes that they sell. Powdered potatoes, and then they reconstitute it. You mix in water and they reconstitute it. So that's just there you liquefy the potato completely. So that's a major dispute in the Shulchan Aruch. Do you consider that as ishtani? The question revolves about a Rashi. The Gemara says that if you have crushed fruit, the bracha is still very pivot. The Rashi writes on that Lashon Gemara, Trima, the bracha and all the very pivot, it's a crushed fruit. The Rashi says that it's a chunky fruit. Why did Rashi say that it's chunky? So some are running on the diet. So the simple pshat is Rashi telling you what the translation of the word is. It didn't mean anything. Just Rashi just tells you the translation of the word. That's cool. Why did he say that? Telling you the pirush amilas. Others say no. The Truma Sedeshim says no. Rashi wanted to tell you the din that only if it's chunky applesauce, but if it's totally liquefied, then it's called ishtani. And once it's ishtani, it loses its original identity.
Crushed fruit wouldn't have that.
But crushed fruit would remain hoy. Right. Or French fried potatoes would still be hadama, but if it was completely powdered potatoes or completely liquefied apples, then it would be shahakam yibidvar. And others disagree and they say it's not true, that just because you've liquefied the vegetable or the fruit, it doesn't lose its original drop. And Rashi just said trima is a chunky fruit, he's just giving you the pirush amilas, that's all. He didn't mean to say anything lala. And then there's a third opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, the Bach, who says that the bracha on crushed applesauce should be a barakri hadama. Where does that come from? If you hold that it's ishtani, so it should be shahakal nivadvar, like a synthetic food. Like if you cook the orange, you said the bracha is shahakal. Any fruit or vegetable that's normally eaten when it's raw, and it's not normally eaten when it's cooked, then you go ahead and you cook it, that's called ishtani. So then you say the bracha of shahakal nivadvar, and it's considered synthetic food, so why not say the same over here? So the Bach gives one shot, and others give a different shot. The Bach says that whenever it's ishtani, by crushing it till it's pulverized, until it's completely liquefied, so then the bracha is nochet chad darga. The bracha goes down one level, So if it started off as her eight, then the apple sort of becomes Rogi Adoma. If it started off as potatoes and you made potato latkes out of it, and you made powdered potatoes out of it, and then you reconstituted it, you made it tasty, then the bracha will go down one madrig and it will become Shahakal Nidavar. From her eight, it goes down to become her Adoma, from Adoma goes down to become Shahakal Nidavar. Rav Soloveitchik used to say like this middle shita, but not the way the Bach said. He said a different mahalach, that for Bari Priha A, you require Tzuris HaPri. Hashemikim, for Bari Priha Adomo, it would appear to the Gemara that you don't require Tzuris HaPri, because the Gemara has it in that on vegetable soup, you say Bari Priha Adomo, even if all the vegetables were removed. I cooked vegetables in water, and it gave a whole flavoring, and then I strain it out, let's say in order that the person shouldn't choke or anything, I strain it out. And he's only drinking the liquid, but the liquid is saturated with the flavor of the vegetables. So it says in the Gemara that you say the bracha Bari Priha Adomo on the vegetables. So there's clearly no Tzuris HaPri. So clearly to recite Bari Priha Adomo is not needed for Tzuris HaPri. So what if you would have fruit soup, where you cook fruit in water and the whole flavor of the fruit was transmitted into the water, and then you removed all of the fruits. Would you say Bari Priha Adomo or not? So the rush is mistupid. Whether that would also be Bar Pi Reich. What's the topic of the Reich? So the topic seems to be, maybe for Bar Pi Reich, you require Tzuris HaPri. So we assume that distinction, that for Bar Pi Reich, you require Tzuris HaPri, so therefore, if you crush the fruit till it's liquefied, you shouldn't say Bar Pi Reich. So what prophet should you say? So I said, if you put the Bach is right, then you say Bar Pi Adam. But if you have crushed potatoes or crushed vegetables, you thought that we shouldn't go down off as Chadag, you should be lower down to become Shahakal Nibidbar. He thought that for the purposes of Bari Priha Adomo, you don't need a Tzuris HaPri. So the bracha should be remained, Bari Priha Adomo, and potato chips. The potato chips, I think, are not made by, sometimes they are, sometimes they take a slicer, and they slice off the slice from the potatoes, and sometimes they pulverize the potatoes and convert it into powder, and then they take the powder and they make, from the powdered potatoes, they make the potato chips. That's the question on the potato chips. If they scrape off, if you have a peeler, and you make off, and you take off peelings from potatoes and you make potato chips from that. So that's like chunky fruit, but that remains Bari Priha Adomo, that's not a shot. But if they made potatoes into powder, then they took the powder and they made it into potato chips or latkes or whatever, so then it's a shot whether it maintains the bracha of Bari Priha Adomo or it becomes lower down to shot. The Mishnah Berurah claims that this whole issue about crushing the fruit and crushing the vegetable till it's totally liquefied, till it's totally pulverized. That is the Shulchan of the Ramot says, the Mechaber says it maintains the original bracha. Mechaber says that the apple sauce is still Bari Priha Adomo. And the Ramot quotes the Trumas Hadesh, and that's not so. That it becomes Shahakal Nidavar. So the Mishnah Berurah says, that's only if it's not that common that they liquefy. But he says, if it's very common, like apple sauce, they have tons and tons of apples. Half the apples in the world, they make apple sauce from, and they make this Johnny Appleseed company that makes the apples and some multimillionaires. But that's a very normal thing. A very normal thing that they make apple sauce from. Because then you can't say that it's a shtani. The shtani only loses the original bracha if it's a shtani l'griyusa. But if it's a shtani l'mal yusa, they're making money on this apple sauce. A shtani l'mal yusa. Obviously people think that the apple sauce tastes better than the original apple. Well, how are you? Why don't they buy apples? Why don't they buy apple sauce? Obviously, loads of people think that it's a shtani l'mal yusa. You can't say it's a miyuta de miyuta, bottle of daitan. I can say bottle of daitan. It's a multi-million dollar industry. So the Mishnah Berurah claims, in the name of the Balatanya, that it's not just plain old shtani. If it's a shtani l'griyusa, then it loses its original bracha. But if you have, let's say, the potato chip industry and the apple sauce industry, so then he claims that it should certainly maintain the original bracha bar pirates and the original bracha bar pirates. Yeah. No, popcorn, I don't think there's a shine. No. When you cook it, that's the way it turns. You can't eat corn when it's raw, it doesn't taste good. So if you eat raw corn, then you say shahapa nibidwa, like eating raw potatoes. Shahapa nibidwa. And if you cook the corn, or if you pop it, or you bake it, so then you say, Bari Priha Adomo. Then it gains its proper bracha.
The apple sauce itself,
according to that last recent good story. The Mishnah Berurah is quote from the Balatanya, the apple sauce will be Bari Priha Adomo, even though it's totally liquefied.
Yeah. There's this one thing I didn't follow. Where did we ever say that Ha'et and Adama are somehow different? It's a separate thing. The idea that, you know, there's something that's either a fruit or it's a vegetable. The idea that somehow an apple is somehow
higher level. higher level than a vegetable, yeah.
Where is that from?
The Gemara, the Mishnah has it, that the Yevit, if he made a mistake on a fruit, he said, Baruch Hu Adomi Yoytzen. The Yevit, if he made a mistake on a vegetable, he said, Baruch Hu Hoytzen, not Yoytzen. You see that the Bracha Baruch Hu is considered more Mufura than the Bracha Baruch Hu Adomi.
But
the
Hakili
is going to say Baruch Hu Hoytzen on a fruit, but the Yevit, if he said, Baruch Hu Adomi on the fruit, Yoytzen. But the Yevit, Hu Adomi is better than the Yevit, Shaapa.
Because the H comes from the Adomi, is that
right? Yeah. If the halacha says that you say bury priha domo on vegetables still be, even if you strained out all the vegetables, the Taisus is bothered with akasha, why don't you say bury minim zainis on beer? The hamishis minim dogon gives the flavoring into the beer. They should say bury minim zainis. Or let's say on coffee. Maybe you should say bury pihoi, the coffee bean. If it's in a flavoring, or the rush is specific, what they say, Barfi Huayk, if there's not Guru Sapik, not Barfi Hadam on coffee. The Shamayna will already know that people should say Barfi Hadam on coffee. Everybody says Shakal Nimit Dvar. I remember once they asked Rabban Soloveitchik, many years ago. He was in the yeshiva many years ago. They asked him, why don't you say Barfi Huayk on coffee? So he said, my father said Shakal Nimit Dvar, so they didn't Shakal Nimit Dvar. So what's the answer? Why did his father say? Well, his father wasn't the Bansham, his father wasn't the Bansham Rabbeinu. Why is it then that his father said Shehakal? So the answer is found in the Prima Godim. The Prima Godim, both the passage in the Gemara and Brachas, but the Gemara talks about Shtisa. Shtisa is some kind of a mixture, liquid, where they used to mix in flour, regular flour. So one opinion, Gemara presents what seems to be a dispute between Rav Shmuel. What bracha do you recite over shtisus? One opinion is, well, something that they drink, so you say shakal minim dvara. And the other opinion is not that you say dvara minim dvara. I remember years ago, people used to drink chocolate milk in America. Maybe they still do like that. They used to pour in flour in order to make it thick. So what bracha do you say on chocolate milk? Should you say dvara minim dvara? Because it has a little flour. Well, flour, the halacha says that you say shakal minim dvara. You only say bird in design, it says you made cake out of it, you made cookies out of it. If you just eat a kernel of grain, then the Gemara says that you say bury priva doma. You don't say bury minim zainis on that. And if you ground up the grain and now it's in the state of flour, and normal people don't eat flour. Normal people sometimes will nibble on kernels of grain that taste good. Like eat sunflower seeds or whatever. Some people will nibble on grain, so the Gemara says if you eat the kernel of grain, you say bury priva doma. But if you eat flour, it says that that's abnormal, or totally abnormal, so then you say shahakal nimit dvar. Never eat abnormal things, then shahakal nimit. If you eat your hat, or you eat paper, a guy chooses pen, he eats plastic, then the halacha says you don't recite any bracha at all, because it's not a chetza voichal. It's not considered oichal. If the thing is not roi l'achilo sodom, you don't say bracha at all. If the thing is flour, you can't say, you don't say that. Flour is not roi l'achilo sodom. Flour is roi l'achilo sodom. If you mix it with water and put in flavoring and sugar and you bake and you cook it and so on, then it is. You can't say that flour is not roi l'achilo sodom. Except if you eat the flour in its present state, that's shloka derech achilo. So whenever you eat anything in an abnormal state, the bracha is always lower down to shahakal nimit dvar. Like the raw potatoes. If you eat raw potatoes, if you eat the cooked orange, you say shahakal nimit dvar. But, so getting back again. So the Gemara has this shayla. What bracha do you recite? If you mix in, let's say, if you mix in flour is anyway shahakal nimit dvara, and the milk, the chocolate milk is anyway shahakal, so you mix the shahakal with shahakal, it's not going to explode to become a mezainis or anything. But let's say if you mix in, you mix in some kind of a mezainis into the milk, and you made it thick, would you say bari min mezainis on the milk, or would you say shahakal nimit dvara? So the Gemara presents what sounds like it's a machlokes between Rav Shmuel, where the shtisa is mezainis, the shtisa is shahakal. Then the Gemara says, not true. There never was an argument. They're talking about two different kinds of shtisa. Ha, berak, ha, biyava. If it's thick, then the bracha on the shtisa is bari min mezainis. If it's thin, then the bracha is shahakal nimit dvara. What's the difference whether it's thick or thin? So the Gemara doesn't say explicitly what the head is. And then the Gemara says, thin, shtisa. What do you use it for? Gemara says, oh, when people are sick, they have a bellyache, so they drink the shtisa. The Zamashan, the Ramah, quotes the Ra'or, Ba'an Alayhi, says, that's the answer. The Gemara is not just telling you what they use it for, that you should know historically why anybody in his right mind would drink the thin shtisa, but rather the Gemara is giving you the key as to what the halacha is over here. Why does the halacha say that shtisa raka, shahakal nimit dvar, let it have to be bar min zayin? Gemara says, that since they drank it l'refuah, whatever you take l'refuah, you say Shahakan Yivu Gvar. Even though there are brachas meforatas, he say Nizainis, and he say Hoesin, and he say Hadam, and he say Brachi Agafran, and he say Amoti. Let's say there would be some kind of a spinach. Let's say spinach. Minigam Din would be people hate spinach. When a kid has a disease, so the mother forces him to eat the spinach and we just can't stand it. So then the Ramah would quote this Ra'or that the bracha on the spinach would be, even if spinach is a regular vegetable. But since the Minigam Din is that people only eat it when they're sick, they eat it as a medication, whatever you eat the food becomes Shahakan in the front. The Mishnah Berurah says we don't pass like that Ramah because the majority of the Poskim don't accept that Pirush of Rabban Alevi on the Gemara. So what is the Shat in the Gemara? But the Gemara says that the Shtisa Rakh and Shtisa Ovo and the Shtisa Ovo is very minimum Zainis and the Shtisa Rakh is Shahakan in the Gemara. Why is one Shahakan, why is one Zainis? And you can't say that you have an Iker and a Tophel. The Poskim Shat is like this, you have an Iker and a Tophel. The Mishnah says whenever you're eating three things together, Pirush of Iker Potter is Satfin. Let's say some Meshugan likes to sit and eat butter. The kid sits and eats a bar of margarine or a bar of butter. The bracha is shahakan in the wrong butter. Another kid sits and eats baked potatoes. So you say brachi adam. What if he dips his potatoes into butter? So you should have to say two brachas. Have to say shahakal on the butter, or let's say you put salt on top of the potato. He's not eating bread, not in the middle of a meal. So you should have to say brachi adam on the potato, and you have to say shahakal in the ground on the salt. The Mishnah says no. Kol shehu ikar v'yim et feilo, v'yirach al ikar patras at feilo. What is the bracha? Obviously the ikar is the potato, l'chayim. And the salt and the butter or the margarine is only a tophel to make the potato tastier. So once you say a bracha on the ikar, you don't have to recite a bracha on the tophel. The same thing, let's say, if you have southern fried chicken. The southern fried chicken has breadcrumbs on the outside. So what are you eating? You're eating breadcrumbs with chicken stuck on it. Are you eating chicken with breadcrumbs flavoring the chicken? So the ikar is obviously the chicken, for the bracha chicken is shahakal. And the bread becomes a tophel. So the Ramah says that you only say shahakal on the bracha. You don't have to say any mizaynus, you don't have to say any hamotzi on the breadcrumbs. The Gemara has, however, another kind of ikar and tophel where we say that chameshis mini dogon is different. Namely, what if I have two foods that are blended in together? I take a blender and I chop together two different foods. One is a ha'eitz and one is a ho'adoma. Or one is a mizaynus and one is a shahakal. Whatever, one is a mizaynus, one is a ho'adoma. Mom is blending it together in the blender. Like they have baby food, all kinds of things blending it together. They have sometimes a ho'eitz and ho'adoma blending together. So what bracha do you say if the thing is blended in? So the Gemara, what are you going to say? What's the ikar and what's the tophel? It's not like southern fried chicken or like a potato that has margarine on it or that has salt on it, that it's easy to determine what's the ikar and what's the tophel. The chicken is the ikar and the coating on top is the tophel to add flavor. But over here, nothing is the ikar, nothing is the tophel. You're eating everything. So the Gemara has another din of ikar and tophel. That whatever is in the row, whatever is more than 50% is arbitrarily declared as the ikar, whatever is less than 50% is arbitrarily declared as the tophel. That's another din of ikar and tophel. And what happens if it's not blended together? What if you go to a wedding or a bar mitzvah and they have a fruit cup? And the fruit cup has ho'adama fruits and it has ho'eitz fruits. It has a little bit of bananas and it has a little bit of strawberries and it has a little bit, what do you call it? Some ho'eitz, some ho'adama. And you put your spoon in, if you take each one separately and you eat it, and you have to say ho'eitz and ho'eitz and ho'adama and ho'adama. What if you put your spoon in and you get a whole bunch of things all together? You eat everything all together. So the chayyadim is mesupid, Mishnah Berurah quotes the chayyadim is mesupid, whether this too is covered with the din of ikar and tophel. Maybe the halacha of ikar and tophel only applies when it's mamish blended in together. Everything is chopped in together and you can't really pick out which is the one, which is the other, but you know which is more than 50%, so that's arbitrarily declared as the ikar. Now, Shenikan, if you can really discern this from that, maybe you can't declare it ikar and tophel, since you're equally interested in eating everything, so you have to require two brachos. So mitam sofek, the sofek of the chayyadim, so we say submission guru passing sofek brachos lahakel. So again, we do declare it as ikar and tophel. So now with respect to this dinner, and you only say the bracha on whatever is the majority, you have to look. You have pineapples or ha'adama because the whole tree falls down, bananas or ha'adama, and strawberries or ha'adama. But the other berries are ho'eitz, blackberries, blueberries, and all the other fruits are ho'eitz, the grapes, everything is there. So you have to look. If whether more than 50% of the whole concoction is a ho'eitz, and more than 50% of the whole mixture is a ha'adama. Whatever the majority is, that's considered the ikar, and the rest is a tophel. So with respect to this arbitrary din of the second din of ikar and tophel, not what's the real ikar, what's the real tophel. It's other fried chicken, the chicken is the ikar, and the coating is the tophel. Here it's a different din of ikar and tophel. Here it's a din, whatever is the majority is the ikar. So here, Rav Shmuel Habadin, Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechamesh Yitmin Adobin, Kol Sheyesh Bo, anything that has a little bit, even though it's the minority, is automatically labeled as the equal. Chameshis min adam is always called the equal. The Pesukim points out it doesn't mean that Burim min adam is always called the equal. Let's say you have a little bit of rice mixed in. Even though rice is Burim min adam, but if you have a little bit of rice mixed in, you don't say that automatically, even though it's less than 50%, you don't say that always becomes the equal. This halacha is reserved after the Chameshis min adam. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. Kol she'esh bo, the Chameshis min adam, if it only has a slight mixture of Chameshis min adam in it, then it's always considered, the ikur is always considered the dogon, and you say burning mizainis on the whole concoction. Unless the mizainis is a real tofel, like by the southern fried chicken, then it's a real tofel. But if this kind of tofel of roving miyut, so you can't outvote chameshis mini dogon just because they're in the minority. They can't be outvoted, you can't declare them as a tofel.
Getting back to the case of the fruit cup, it's very easy to distinguish between just my piece of strawberry dead on. You shouldn't be too well with it, but if you see this majority of pineapple,
how does a person normally eat it?
One spoon.
So if he normally eats it with one spoonful and he gets everything all mixed in together, then you have the stuffing of the chayot. So he says that you should
stuff it.
Wouldn't be a drop of that. Probably be a drop of shayna tzvi. Wouldn't be a big drop of shayna tzvi.
I mean, often like when you get chicken, a fricassee, there's vegetables and other things included in the preparation.
Unless he plans to eat, let's say, later. Let's say a fellow's not watching. Say Huadama anyway, then you're going to give fruits for dessert. He's going to have to eat what he eats anyway. So he's going to have to say Huadama Benko, so he's going to have to say, let's say the majority is Huadama and the minority is Huadama. And he's going to have to say Huadama later when he gets the main course. He knows they're going to have either one vegetable or another, but they're going to have some vegetables there. But Benko, he has to say Huadama. They may as well say Huadama now.
I was just saying that wasn't
there
they pit chicken with vegetables and other things. So I'm saying it's not like
mean a coating.
I'm saying it's not like southern fried chicken where the bacon, the breading is literally on the chicken. It's separate from the chicken when you eat it. But
it's another course on the plate.
Well, it comes out. In other words, when the chicken comes out, there's separate vegetables sort of on it. The juices have come on the chicken, but still there's still separate vegetables coming with the chicken. So I'm saying you probably would have to make a separate
bracha. Yeah. I mean, let's say if you cook chicken in a pot together with potatoes and together with carrots. So you say a separate bracha on the potatoes and the carrots.
Even though it's really one dish and the main thing is the chicken.
Yeah, it's not really one dish.
Yeah.
So that's why the Gemara posed this problem. The din is that kol sheyesh bo mechameshes min adam. Rabbi Shmuel both agreed that whatever has even less than 51% of chameshes min adogon that takes over and everything becomes burning in the zaynus. So that's the Gemara's problem: is what's the difference between shlisa ova and shlisa rako? Whether it's very liquidy or it's thicker, it should always be burning in the zaynus, even though it has less than 51% of the flour in it, even less than 51% of a zaynus mixture. So what is the chiluk between shlisa ova and shlisa rako? So Taisus on that Gemara says that the word is like this. It has several interpretations. So the interpretation that's quoted by Allah in Shulchan Aruch is that shtisa rako, the Gemara says, what they use it for? When people were sick, they would drink it. So they said the key is that they used to drink it as a beverage. And people eat it because they're hungry and you eat soup, then the soup is considered a maifel. Even though it's in a liquid state, it's considered a liquid maifel. You can have a liquid maifel, you can have a solid maifel. So in macholim, there are brachas mufuratas, like ho'adoma, and ho'eitz, and mezainis, and hamaitzi, and sometimes the bracha is shahakha. But in beverages, if the thing is a shtisa rak, it's a beverage, so all beverages are shahakha. The patient says, now we know the secret why on beer you say shahakol nimidvar, because beer is a beverage, and whatever is a beverage is always shahakol nimidvar. So the Prima Gaon quotes that. So he says, and he says, that's the reason why we say shahakol on coffee, because coffee is a beverage. Even though the coffee has the flavoring from the coffee beans, and one might perhaps argue you should have been barapihu ekta, perhaps it should have been barapihu adama or whatever. He says, no, since it's a beverage, so the bracha is shahakol nimidvar. The shahakol, let's say, borscht. There are different kinds of borscht. Sometimes people eat borscht like a soup. If it has chunks in it, so it's certainly not a beverage. Even if you drink it in a glass, but it has chunky particles in it, so then for sure it's a soup. So sometimes they serve soup in a glass.
But even the kuzanas, you don't be getting the kuzanas. We just established that the kuzanas is always liquor, but the kuzanas is a beverage.
If it's a beverage, then it's shahakol. That's what it says by the beer, right.
Didn't you already make the distinction between ha'ef and adama by the fruit soup and the vegetable soup that were served at three? So the question
probably
really
is
the question.
It's, if you hold like that rush, right, that's the question whether you hold like that rush. The Vishnubura Kaskin is against that. He says that on the apple straw, since it's so common today to manufacture apple straws, so you do say barbie rice. You know that you don't need surah safi.
So
that's the unit you assume that you do need surah safi, but still the question, why not say what? Adama on the coffee? True, you don't say barbie rice because there's no surah safi, so at least say barbie adama. And the common practice is that everybody says shahakalan coffee. But if you've got on claims, the true answer, the correct answer is that it's a beverage. And all beverages, the correct broth and shot.
You have rice and meat that are mixed together pretty much even proportion. What are you going to say?
Can you determine which is the ikka, which is the tofel? He's interested in eating broth. And you can't determine which is more than 50%?
It's mixed in, really mixed together. The ground meat and rice together.
You have to ask the cook. Ask the cook what the percentage is. Cook, no. Not a cook. You don't know, so you say two brachas. Eat it separately, eat that separately. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that the halacha that if you say a bracha on the ikir, you don't require a bracha on the tofel. That's only if you're eating the potato first, or if you're eating them simultaneously. That's the potato with the salt or the potato with the matzah. You dip it in, you eat it together, or if you eat the ikir first and then the tofel later. What happens if you eat the tofel first? But the fellow really wants to dip his potatoes into salt and into. Margarine or butter, but he wants to have a little bit of the margarine or the butter first, and then he's going to have the potato. So then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, then he has to say bracha on the top. Also, lahavdil mir alma zeh lo bracha. Bracha biruch alika pachas hatzpel is if you're eating both together, or if you're going to eat the ikar first and then the tofel later. What bracha do you recite on the tofel? So in that case, it's simple. If the tofel is salt, if the tofel is margarine, the salt and margarine are shahakol, so that's not a problem. What if the tofel happens to be a mezainis, let's say southern fried chicken? So instead of cutting and eating a whole piece all together, he's going to eat some of the coating first. So the coating is really mezainis? The coating should be mezainis. And he wants to eat some of the coating first before he begins to eat any bit of the chicken. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, he has to say a bracha. So what bracha does he say? So the Ramah writes that whenever you're eating the tofel first, since it's a tofel, if you would have eaten it together, you would have eaten the ikar first, you wouldn't say any bracha at all. But since it's not that significant to the bracha, whatever it should have been is always lowered down to become shahakol. It loses its chashivus and it becomes shahakol. Mishnah Berurah says that the majority of the poskim don't hold like that. They hold that it's not correct, that whatever bracha the tofel should have been, it maintains its chashivus of a bracha. That's how we count.
And then you have to say a second bracha on the
ikar? Yeah, then you have to say a second bracha on the ikar.
Like cereal milk. I mean, normally if you have cereal milk, you don't have to make a shahakol on the milk.
Yeah,
you say you drink milk first. Like
you drink milk first, yeah. So that's a simple case because milk is shahakol. But then it says, Shalom, if you drink the milk first, they say shahakol. But what if the tofel is a mezainis, or the tofel is a wadama or something? Let's say you have a chicken with a filling, and the filling is a rice filling. And the rice should really be burned in a mezainis. But you're not really eating rice, you're eating chicken with a filling. So then you say that, you say, shahakol on the chicken, you don't need a bracha on the rice. But what if you want to nash, what if you want to nibble some of the filling first before you eat the chicken? So do you say, since it's a tofel, so the bracha shahakol, everything is shahakol. So the shahakol that you say on the rice covers the chicken. And you say, no, rice is mezainis, even though it's a tofel over here, you still say mezainis. So that's how we paskin against the Ramah. The Ramah says that whatever is a tofel, if you're eating it first, the bracha is always lowered down, it's always knocked down to shahakol. We don't paskin like that Ramah. And why in the bracha that's required is Bar Pihu Eitz, of course. Bar Pihu Agochen, yeah. The Mishnah implies that the bracha should have been for a few ways. Amashkim ha-yotzim and ha-zeisim and ha-dovim are considered the pre. So really, shemen zayi should really be bore pre-hoit. And the Gemara says sometimes it is. Usually, who drinks a bottle of shemen zayi? Normally you don't drink it. Usually shemen zayi is used to pour on a as a salad dressing or something, or the light canopy candles with. But you don't use shemen zayi to drink it like this. If a person drinks it straight like that, it's abnormal. The Gemara says that you're not going to say Baruch Pihuayt over there. Either you say Shakla, you don't say a broth at all. You're not going to say Baruch Pihuayt if you're drinking it in an abnormal fashion. But the Gemara says sometimes you'll say Baruch Pihuayt on olive oil. Shulchan Aruch gives a rare case. It never comes up. It never comes up by you. So Mikra Adin, the Gemara says, the Mashkam Ayetzim and Azetzim and Anovim, the broth should be Baruch Pihuayt. But the Chachamim were required a fancier bracha for wine, the Hainu Bari Pri Hagoch. What happens to the Yevit if the person made a mistake and said Bari Pri Hoyt on wine? So you ought to say that the Yaitzib the Yevit, because Mikra then it should have been Bari Pri Hoyt, but on the Sakhan a fancier bracha, so the Yevit you made a mistake, you should be Yaitzib if you said Bari Pri Hagoch. Also the Yevit you used, not just Shahakon. The Gemara says Shahakon, Biro Shahakon, Akulam Yotzi, even on Tas and even on Yain. I should say, even if you say Bari Pri Hoyt, you Yaitzib, even if you say Bari Pri Hagoch, you Yaitzib. So that's what some parts can hold. And then there's a thesis in Brachas on that. The thesis says not so. The thesis is clearly assuming that if it says the Yevid, you made a mistake, and it says very priho eight on wine, that you're not Yotze. So that if Kivegar presents this cash, he doesn't understand why. I ought to say that it's like saying very priho dom on proof that the Yevid is Yotze. So if it says very priho eight on wine, the Yevid should also be Yotze. And he quotes that it's really machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. What the din is? What if by mistake the Yevid, a person said, Bari Pihuayt instead of saying Bari Pihuayt, and whether he's Yotze.
Something like carrot juice, or any type of juice that results in a vegetable.
All other fruit juices and vegetable juices, the bracha is shahakal. Even coconut juice, where the juice doesn't have to be squeezed out, it's right there. He assumes that all other juices, the bracha is shahakal.
But with shemen zayis, because it remains so much.
Only shemen zayis and yayin. Why? That's a machlekes in Yishen. Why? So the Torah says the reason why. The reason why Zeisman Dovim was singled out is because Nekora Nazi Imshi Adaita Dahaki, that people plant the olives and they plant the grapes with the intention of making olive oil and wine from them. So according to the tour, it's Lav Dafke Zeisman Dovim. If you have, let's say, there are juiced oranges and they're eating oranges, if you plant juiced oranges with thin skins and it's full of juice and it's not as little pulp, different kind of an orange, so they're planted initially in order to make orange juice from it. According to the Torah, the bracha on that orange juice would be Baruch Pihoy. Or the Torah says, let's say you plant sugar cane which grows from the ground, adaita to get the sugar, in order to cook it's a fruit that grows from the ground in order to make the sugar from it. So you say that on the sugar you say Baruch Pihoy.
So not sure.
So according to the Torah, you should say Baruch Pihuayt. So the Shulchan Aruch says that we don't pass like the Torah. We pass like the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim say no. That is Gzeiras HaTosuf. The Gemara, the Mishnah Trumas has Machlokes of Lezer. Rabbi Shua, we pass like Rabbi Shua. Machlokes of Lezer, Shamutinu. Rabbi Lezer is going to come with the Shammai. We always pass like Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua learns it out from the pasuk that Zeisman Dovim is different. So the Torah says, yay, he learns it out from the pasuk that Zeisman Dovim is different because of this logic, because of this verb. If you have the juice oranges, or if you have the sugar cane, and so on. And we talked in the Shulchan Aruch that that's not the reason. It's exactly that closer. The Torah gave a special chashiva to Zeisman Dovim, that only the mashkim and the Zeisman Dovim have the status of free. But that was a big machloikis in the Rishonim, what bracha to recite of the Rambam quotes that machloikis, what bracha to recite over sugar. Whether, if you had chunks of sugar, I remember years ago, as a child, they used to have, they still have it now, rock candy, you know. As a child, they used to eat it. So they quote in the biography of the Vilna Gaon that when he was a little child, he used to enjoy eating the rock candy, the pure sugar candy. And then, when he learned Shulchan Aruch, and he found that it's a machloikis, what bracha you say? Well, he say ha'it, so he say shahako. Yeah. So that was the end of the sugar candy. As a little baby, he stopped eating the sugar candy.
What about the milk that's left after you finish the cereal?
I don't think so. The Pashto says that that's an Iker and a Tophel. So you just... unless a person wants to drink a whole cup of milk, unless he's interested in drinking a cup of milk, so then it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have an Iker and a Tophel, and the Tophel does not require a Brocher. But if you plan to eat, if you're going to have something later on, eating it separately from the ikar. It's going to be eaten separately, and it has that bracha. So you have to say the bracha already now on the top. But he's just going to finish eating the cereal, and then there's always a little bit of milk left. So I thought the pastor says that you don't say bracha. What is the din of very minimum mizaynus? When do you say very minimum mizaynus? When do you say hamotzi lechem mehoret? Did you have wheatina? That's very minimum mizaynus. Did you have spaghetti? Is very minimum mizaynus. If you have bread, it's hamotzi lechem mehoret. What if you have cake? What if you have cookies? So we all know that that's very minimum mizaynus. But if you kaveh food on it, then the Gemara says if you eat enough of it, then the Gemara says that you say hamotzi lechem mehoret. You have to wash and you have to bench. The whole works. It has the din of pasta. What's the story over here? What is it? Is it bread or is it not bread? So the answer is, yeah, it is bread. The Gemara calls it pas, but it's pas habo or bikisnin. That's the question. How do you translate the word pas, bread, habo, you know, bikisnin? That's the hard word. What does the word bikisnin mean? So we're not sure exactly what that word is. Rashi over there. The Rishonim have proof of this. The question, what is it? What is the definition of pas habo or bikisnin? So Shulchan Aruch, different interpretations are quoted, and we assume the halacha like this. That if you have pie, pie means you have dough on top and dough on the bottom, and then you have a filling. Cherry pie, apple pie, you have a filling in the middle. So that's like a pocket. Pocket means that you have cloth on top, cloth on the bottom, and you have money in the pocket, or you have a handkerchief in the pocket, you have your keys in the pocket. You have something, a filling in the middle. So if you have pasta bought the kiss, then like in a pocket, there's a filling inside the dough on top and dough on the bottom. That's considered, that's pas. It's really pas. But with respect to these three dinim derabanan, I don't treat it like bread. With respect to the requirement for birchus, the bracha when they say hamotzi abar min mizaynus, the difference between hamotzi abar min mizaynus and the derabanan, and atarah doesn't make any difference. And atarah either according to the plain sure you can say any bracha you want, and atarah according to the other you don't have to say any bracha in atarah. So the difference between mizaynus and bar piyad and hamotzi is only the derabanan. The requirement for nitzilus yadayim for bread is clearly only the derabanan. Birchus hamazon we also assume. The requirement to recite Birchas HaMazon is only midiyoraisa if the person ate Kidei Sviya. The person just had a little nash and it's not Kidei Sviya, so the need to bench is only midirabonim. And even when he benches, if he had a little bread, and even if he benches, what if he were to recite Alamichya instead of reciting Birchas HaMazon? So many Rishonim seem to hold that to the evidence he would be yotze on the level of the right. Midirabonim is not yotze. But that person eats bread, so instead of saying Hazanah Sarah, instead of saying Birchas HaMazon, he recites on midirabonim for sure he's not yotze. That's the bench over again, but according to many, Menatera he really is yet. With respect to these three dinim derabbanan, namely, Birchas HaMazon versus Alamichya, Hamotzi versus Barimin and Mizaynus, and Metilas Yadam, the issue of washing two times, so all three issues are one of the derabbanan. With respect to these three dinim derabbanan, the Chacham declared that if you have pas habo of the kisnin, it really is pas, it really is bread. But if you eat it as a nash, then it's treated as a Mizaynus. And you don't wash and you don't bench and you say very minimum mizaynus, you don't say hamotzi. And if you eat it bikviyas, then you have to wash and bench and say hamotzi lechem mehoret. So the question is, so when is it cooked? Let's say if you have wheatina, you'll eat 10 pounds of wheatina and you'll be totally full. Wheatina is never going to become hamotzi. That's not lechem, that's not pasavor bikviyas. That's mizaynus, it eats spaghetti. So the pashup shot is that you can eat a ton of spaghetti and it's still going to be burning in the sense. It's never going to be converted to become hamotzi lechem. How can you declare that spaghetti is hamotzi? How is that lechem? That's not lechem, I'll be pashup. There's one place that seems to say not so. The pashup shot is that the spaghetti is never going to become hamotzi. So the question is, what is considered pasavo bikisnin that switches? And when is it a vaday, and when is it a hamotzi, and when is it a vaday mizaynus? When does it belong to the category that's always hamotzi? When does it belong to the category that's always mizaynus? And when is it this borderline case? So that's what it's more called, pas habo bikisnin, when it's like a kiss, when it has a pie that has a filling in the middle. Is there anything else that we consider for sure pas habo bikisnin that is vaday, that it's a mizaynus that belongs to that category? So the magen avraham paskins la'alach, even though it's a machlokes. That most of our cakes today are not pies that have a filling in the middle like a kiss that has a dough on top and dough on the bottom and a filling in the middle. Most of our cakes have a lot of sugar in them. A lot of them have loads of sugar. Loads and loads. Very, very sweet. Not some a little sugar to add flavoring. It has loads and loads of sugar in it. And everything is all blended in together. You mix everything all in together. So the Magen Avraham says that if it has a lot of sugar like our cakes, He says that that's also considered a real for sure. That's a possible because even though it's a machloek, it's going to be passing our love like that. This is important to know what's a sotik hamotzi, what's a vadeh hamotzi, and so on. For the following case, let's say a person finished eating a whole meal, then at the end of the meal he's not hungry at all. Went to a wedding, but it's stuck. But he gave him so much food, he's ready to fly. At the end of the meal, they give tea and cake. So does he say a bracha on the cake? Usually, assume on the tea, he doesn't say a bracha. You know, it's also a question. Assume on the tea, he doesn't have bracha because the tea is to wash down. The Gemara says that it's healthy to wash down the food a little bit, to have a little drink. But it doesn't say a bracha on the cake. So the din is whatever is the course in the meal, you don't say a bracha for. That's only bracha boim machmas hasuda, but they're hasuda. You eat it in the middle of the meal. The cake is eaten at the end as a dessert. Let's say they give ice cream at the end as dessert, or they give fruits at the end as dessert. So the Gemara says it's a bracha. The ice cream, you say a bracha on the fruits. It's not brahma boy machmas hasuda, it's given as dessert. The dessert is not one of the courses of the meal. It's not to fill you up. It's not lahamshech if you have an appetizer before you begin to eat, in order lahamshech tayvus hasula, in order to give you an appetizer, in order to eat, that's a machlokes. Whether that's called brahma boy machmas hasuda, we taught them that it is machmas hasuda, so you don't say brahma on that. The actual courses of the meal are also brahma boy machmas hasuda. You have, let's say, the bitulta fish, or you have the chopped liver, or you have the soup, and you have the chicken, and you have the potatoes, and you have the vegetables, everything they give you on the tray, that's a course in the meal, to fill you up. To fill you up too much, maybe, but that's to fill you up. And then the question is the dessert. The dessert is not to fill you up, and it's not an appetizer to whet your appetite to start to eat. You finished already. So all desserts are not, are essentially not drama by machmas hasuda. Unless some poskim held that since the minig became that we always eat desserts, so the desserts are also not considered bama bama machmas hasuda. So that's the shaila what they did. That was an ancient machlokes in the days of the Rishonim, in the days of the later Achronim, what they did, that's the shaila. But many still have the practice that, like it says in the Mishnah Berurah, they say that the Chafetz Chaim the Seif Yamav changed his mind. But he said that it's not. But in the Mishnah Berurah, he writes that if they serve fruits at the end of the meal, that you say a separate bracha because it's a dessert. So it's bama bama shalom machmas hasuda. So the question is, what if they give cake at the end of the meal, cake or cookies, and the fellow is full? He's not really eating the cake in order to fill himself up some more. He's not eating it as part of the meal. He's eating it as an ash, because it's a very sweet tasting, and he enjoys it. So that's really as a dessert. So does he? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, he has to say goyim in mezayin. So the question is, but there are many types of cakes and cookies that the Shulchan Aruch talks about that are a sefek hamotzi, sefek mezayin. So if it's a sefek, maybe it's hamotzi, maybe mezayin. So the Shulchan Aruch says, we go to kulam, we say that mezayin is enough. You don't have to wash. You don't have to say hamotzi. You don't have to bench. We go to kulam. Because the whole issue is going to be rabbanim. So we say, you don't have to wash. And you just say, goyim in mezayin. It's not hamotzi. You don't have to bench. It's just say alam nifta. But if he's just finished eating bread, he just finished eating a meal. So to say that the bracha is mezainis is going to be a chumra here. If you say the bracha is hamotzi, that's the kula, because he already said hamotzi. So the hamotzi that he said on the bread at the beginning of the meal will cover the cake that he's eating at the end of the meal on the side that the cake may be hamotzi. So if you have a cake that's a sefek hamotzi, sefek mezainis, and you eat it at the end of the meal, then the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of Rebbe Kiveger that you should not say a separate bracha, because maybe the bracha is really hamotzi, and you already said hamotzi. Unless it's a vadai mezainis. If the cake that you have at the end of the meal is a vadai mezainis, not one of the cakes that's a sotek, if it's a vadai mezainis and you eat it at the end of the meal and you're already full, you're not eating it to fill yourself up, then you say mezainis on the cake. So what's called a vadai mezainis? So a pie is a vadai mezainis, or Moshe quotes the Magen Avraham that the kind of cakes that are common by us, that they have so much sugar in them, so the Magen Avraham says that we consider that also a vadai mezainis. So let's say at the end of the meal, they serve some kind of a...
breadsticks.
Okay. They serve some other kind of a cake that's not a pie that has dough on top and on bottom and filling and gold. It's not a kiss. It doesn't have a pocket. And it's not so saturated with sugar. And it doesn't. A lot of the pies have jelly in the middle and they have filling in the middle. So whenever it has a filling, it has a lot of sugar. That's filling. That does not filling. It just has a little bit of flavoring to add flavor. So then it's a machlokes, then it's a shayla whether it's hamotzi or mezainis. If you would eat it separately, we would be makel and say that the bracha is only mezainis. But if you're eating it at the end of the meal, we are makel in the other direction to say that it's hamotzi, so it's covered with the hamotzi that you have already said.
Because without the sugar, it's not
half pasta, it's a suffix in Shulchan Aruch. If it doesn't have a lot of sugar and it doesn't have a filling in the middle, it just has a slight amount of sugar or flavoring, that it should taste a little different from bread. So that's a machlokes, whether that's possible.
I mean, the sugar makes it a definite mezainis.
If you have a lot of sugar in it, like most of our texts today. So then Rav Moshe quotes the Magen Avraham, do we pass from it? That's a definite design.
That's a pass above.
That's for sure a pass above the truth.
Yeah. I mentioned breastplates, but aren't breastplates and so things they crack, she calls it, Allah Shinam, also definitely part of his name, but I don't know.
I'm not sure. I think that it's not a Vadai Nezemus. I think we consider that a Sufik Nezemus, a Sufik Hamotz. I think if you eat it separately, we treat that as a Nezemus. But if you eat it at the end of the meal, I think we would be able to treat it as Hamotz. I think so. There is a din that people don't always remember. There is a din of Shinui Makom Tzarech Levarech. That's the Gemara in the last Perek in Pesachim. That if a person, let's say, is drinking a cup of soda in this class, as in the middle of class, and then he walks out and he comes back in, so he has to say another bracha. Or let's say he walks out and he continues to drink somewhere else, he has to say another bracha when he goes to the other room. When do we apply this principle of Shinui Makom Tzarech Levarech? So the Shulchan Aruch has the following three principles. If the person is sitting in one end, let's say a wedding hall, very big hall, and the guy says, he watches noon time, says, "I'm right," and then he's going to go all the way to the other end of the hall, which is way down there, a long walk. So if it's Nipina, Lapina, Bosa, head there from one end of the room to the other, that's considered Bosa Mok. That's not considered Shini Mok. If it's Micheda, Lacheda, Bosa, Bayis, let's say the person goes from one room in this building to another room, and then he comes back to continue eating here. He goes from one room to the other, continues to eat there. So if it's Micheda Lacheda Bosa Bayis, then it says in Shulchan Aruch that it depends. If he had the das, when he said the bracha of Shahakal on his Coca-Cola, that he's going to continue eating somewhere else, so then Micheda Lacheda Bosa Bayis is not considered Shini Makom. But if at the time that he originally said the bracha he didn't have in mind, then Micheda Lacheda Bosa Bayis constitutes a Shini Makom. And if it's Bayis Lebayis, if he goes from one building to the other, even if he had in mind, it's still considered a Shini Makom. And Tzarech Levarech. Unless he's one who's traveling. That's a din. Let's say a person is traveling on the highway. He's not a Gemara. They would travel, they would walk for hours and hours. So you say a guy's traveling on the highway, so he has to keep on saying another bracha. Every time he's going to eat some more fruit. That's a special kula that the Chachamim made. If he's a Hurrah Baderach, if he's on a trip, then there's no din of Shinimah. So once he started his trip, then there's no din. But if he's not going on a trip, he's sitting and eating normally, then all of a sudden he goes downstairs to pick up the mail and he comes back up. And he didn't have intention. So the Gemara says, if he's eating bread, and bread, the Gemara says in the last parak in Pesachim, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and bread is torn broccoli, apple, and komo. He's supposed to bench in the place where you ate the bread. So then, there's no din of Shina Makom, Tzarech Levarech, provided that he ate ready kezayis. If you eat a kezayis bread, and you walked away, and you come back, you don't have to stay another broccoli. Or you walk away, you can continue eating in the other place. Let's say by the Hasidim. They wash it, they make kiddush, and they wash it home. And then they go to the Rebbe's Tish and they finish eating over there. So what happened to the Shini Makom? So the answer is they wash for bread. They're eating bread in the middle of a meal of bread. So there's no din of Shini Makom Tzarech Levarech if you're in the middle of a Suda by bread. But if you're having food without bread, you're having Coca-Cola, you're having chicken or fish or anything else other than bread, then the Gemara has these Klalim, Shini Makom Tzarech Levarech.
How far does that go? You go to grandma's to get a cup of hot coffee and you're walking down the block here. Is it rough having a couple steps?
No, that's not called Shini Makom because we can see it's all the same makom.
I get to my brother's grandma's and walk past and finish my cup and I don't know the
brother. Ramesh Feinstein has another point. Let's say a person has a sucking candy in his mouth. But even if he's Mishana Makom from one place to the other, but he was continuing, he was eating continuously the whole time. So then there's no hafsak at all. So he writes, even though he has no thought for that, he thinks that it's a dull torture, but he doesn't have to stand in the drop. But even the fellow sipping his coffee, he takes a sip and he walks, takes a sip and he walks.
Yeah.
As long as he's walking in the street, that's not a shame about him. Unless he turns the corner and you can't see the old.
Actually, if I turn to a building,
what becomes the first
one? If I turn into the building, go to my classroom.
Well, let's say he says the drop in front of the shop. Right. So if he walks all the way down the block and he can still see the old spot from the new spot, that's not a Shini Makom. And then if he keeps on sipping in the front of the building, as he walks into the building, so that's not a Shini Makom for that spot to that spot. Then if you walk upstairs, it is going to be a Shini Makom because he didn't have the Ched of the Ched of Bosa Bayis, is only if he originally said the bracha.
Whatever that's the secret of back there, I can see where I finished.
No, you say where you finish. That din is only by bread. By bread is a din, you have to say the bracha achrayna where you finish, where you were eating, either where you began to eat or where you finished to eat. You can't say benching in a different place. But barna pashas, you can say even in a different place.
So once you come at the first place, then it's like another shambol on the
court. Yeah. some problem. Unless
you
he was drinking continually.
You have it in your hand. You have your da'at on it all the time. You don't want to spill it. You have to hold it.
Right, that's exactly it. But the din of shinim makom is unrelated to hesach hada'at. Exactly. Hesach hada'at is one din. If the person is eating, then he made up his mind, that's the end. He's not going to eat anymore. So then you if he changes his mind, so hesach hada'at requires another drama. Shinim makom is a different din. If you start eating in one place and you finish in another place, and you walked away and you come back, that's considered a new achilah, even though there wasn't a hesach hada'at. A separate din, it's a new achilah. And Moshe Feinstein writes in the sefer, let's say a person had a shinim makom and they have to say another bracha. But let's say he's eating here, he's eating a little bit of food, he's eating. Sachakol, he only has a kazayis of food. He eats a heavy kazayis, and then he runs out to pick up the mail downstairs, and he comes back up and he has to eat another broch, and he only eats the half of kazayis, and the first half of kazayis, and the second half of kazayis, he's all eaten turf today, achilas prak. So Moshe says he thinks that it's in Suraf Yachad. He thinks that it isn't Suraf Yachad. Allah, the Shinim Makom, Sarav Lavarach, only means you have to say another broch of Shalafanel. But it does mean that it's not considered one big achilas. It is one achilas.
Why is it so different when, you know, like traveling on a bus, you know, something you have a family, you made a broch back in New York, let's say, you end up in Chicago, but.
Well, if it's bread, so then the Gemara says, since bread is tom brocha l'acharav and kama, so there's no din of shinim makom.
So here we.
Or if you're sitting on the bus the whole time, so you're in that same makom. Either bus is moving in a different location on the surface of the globe. That's not shinim makom. If I'm in the same bus or the same automobile, so that's not called shinim makom.
It would only be by bread.
No, bread is one din. Uh-huh. Bread is one din that there's never shinim makom by bread, provided that you ate a kazayis before you start roaming around. And then there's another din, if I'm eating potato chips, let's say, on the bus, and the bus keeps on traveling miles and miles, I eat one potato chip and he goes 20 miles again, another potato chip, but I'm on the same bus, I didn't walk away, so that's not cool, she didn't walk away. I'm on the same spot, even though my whole vehicle is moving.
I think that the case of Sahim is that people, when having something not bread, and they leave a person at the table,
mm-hmm.
and they come back.
Yeah, it's another Gemara. Another Gemara in the end of Tzachon, that's also, there's no din of shinim makom. Let's say if I'm eating with a group of other people, and no one, I didn't wash for bread. I'm eating with a group of people, and then I go out for a moment and I come back. I go to pick up the mail, I go to talk to someone, then I come back. So even though I didn't wash for bread, and I didn't have a mind when I walked out, or I went in bais, and I came back. But since I left some of my friends behind, so the Brisa says explicitly that then there's no din of shinim makom in Tzachon. And you don't have to say another bro.
So if it's not
tabuli
on
the Sahadah,
so what's the reason
you don't want to use that? That's a good question. What do they base it on? I have a suggestion, but it's a little late, so I better save my suggestion for another time. Okay, let me just mention one more din, and I'll call it quits, and Brother Simon will take over. There is another din that people sometimes don't realize. Let's say the Yerushalmi has a din. The person says, Bari Fihor Eitz, and he's about to eat the apple. And then the apple falls down on the ground, and he gets so dirty, he changes his mind, he's not going to eat that apple. But he's going to eat a different apple, so he takes a different apple. So the Shami says he has to say another bracha. So the Ramah says that's only by mid Ramah, if he only plans to eat this one apple in the beginning. What if he plans to eat this? He has an apple in his right hand, plans to eat this apple. And after he eats this apple, he wants to eat another fruit or another apple. So then, since when he had in mind, when he said the bracha bar pirate originally had in mind for this apple and for other fruits on the table, even if this apple is halach mi'ibud, there's no need to say another apple. But if all he planned to eat was this cup of wine or this single apple and that fell down, then he has to say another bracha when he has the new fruit. Sometimes comes up. So, okay. Give a din of Kasha Zaman, we still don't know who's telling the truth. The Chiddush is not that the second I believe and the first I not believe the first. There is a Yetzim in HaKalam that it's not a deadlock. So what is the nature of the Chiddush? The Rabbi says, even if the Torah gives in a Chiddush, it doesn't mean that we believe the second and we don't believe the first. We still don't know who's telling the truth. It's only a din Hanhovet, like we spoke the other day about Chazaka versus Rove. But if you have a Rove Bari, so Rove is Mevara the fact. Shimon has a Chazaka, Shimon has all the Rayas, Rashi, about Yanai, Shimon has in the Chariot, that is only a Din Han Hoget. It's not a Biru at all. But that's exactly the Nekudat HaAchloik is between Abai and Rav, what is the nature of the Chiddush of Eitzayim? The Rav holds the nature of the Chiddush is that even after the Torah says that we give Kasha Zaman, we really don't know who's telling the truth. We really don't know whether Chazaka, whether Saif, Lahani, or Tantani. But it's a Din Han Hoget. So the Meile Rabbi says, whenever you have a dinner hoga, it only applies to Karol Abba from the time that you have your Bia Ta suffering. You can't apply dinner hoga to Makreya. And hoga means when you realize you have a problem and you don't know what the facts are. You have no way to figure out the facts, so the Torah tells you how to be noed. So the Torah only tells you how to be noed from that moment on that you realize that you're in a pickle, that you don't know what to do. And Abai says, no, that's not the nature of the Kiddush. The nature of the Kiddush is, even though it should have been treated as a tray, the nature of the Kiddush is that we do believe the second count and we don't believe the first count. It's a birur. The Torah is nechadesh, ayyot v'naklami, that it's not a tray, but what is it? That we believe the second count. Once it's a birur, it's a birur, it's a birur. That's why Alfi Pasha, this Gemara of Rabbi, even though we pass them like Abai, the Rezenim, the Masreya, who is itself, because we hold that the nature of the Kiddush, the Rezenim is the second upleave, the first and not leave. But still, the principle of Rabbi does apply in other cases. If you will have a Din HaHoga will only apply Mikan al Habba, won't apply the Masreya. Will you have such a case? You have in the Yerudaya, and you learn Hilchas Harut in the Yerudaya, it comes towards the Din, that's the Din Deraisin. That if you have Isa fell into Heter, and it's Bottle Beshishin, so it says in the Yerudaya, in the Mechaber and Ramoah, based on a Tosefta, that you only have Bikul Beshish and Mishas Yizias HaKaruvis V'yela. Before Yizias HaKaruvis, there's no Bikul. And I don't say this, I found out now at 6:30 that there's a Taruvis, and I found out, I realize now, that it fell in at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, so they really became bustle at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, the Din is not so. And they're not Kaminis Ledin also. The Ramoah has not Kaminis, the Mechaber and Ramoah have not Kaminis, and the Tosefta has not Kaminis also. That the Din Deraita, based on Rabbi's Klav, that's it. Even though we don't pass like Rav, but that's a different reason, because we hold that the nature of the Chiddush Beis Zenim is a different part. The nature of the Chiddush is that it's not at all Trey, but it's not a Din of Hanhog only. We believe the second cut, but we don't believe the first cut. But since Abai holds the nature of the Chiddush Beis Zenim is that we, it's Birur, if they have no money, it's against the first cut, the fact on his Barer, that his Barer is Barer, because the Kosovo is Mulam Amreya. So that's why we pass like Abai, but Rav's principle and theory is accepted. If you were to have a din which is only a din of Hanhoge, then it would only be Mikan al Abba. So that's exactly the din of Ein Bittul Ela Mishasi Bia Sataruzir. Okay, Lineta, I'd like to discuss next time a little bit about Nibru and Peshaw, so what the nature of the Hilchos Nibruah. Take a look at Rabbi Chanan Vazmi's Kodi Shun Tei Beit. I'd like to say that.
Based on another See, I will say I'll go later. Bring the Beit HaKnesses to bring the Beit. You should first do Hadlokas Nei Chanukah, and then you have Dora later. And the Taz makes a compromise between Babayis as opposed to the Beit HaKnesses. Okay? Well, we say Babayis.